into the Word. Tonight we're going to conclude our study on the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And we've covered a lot of different things, a lot of different understandings and ideas. And I trust that you have gained some insight, received some fresh revelation on the fruit of the Spirit, on the things that Paul was speaking about in the scriptures in Galatians, and whenever he's speaking again to the church of Galatia and speaking to them there, trying to get them in the mindset of grace and out of the mindset of legalism, to get them to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law. The law has been accomplished, but it wasn't done away with. And so there are things that God wants us to be. God wants us to requires of us, if I can say it like that. And we can accomplish all of that, first of all, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Just again, let me reiterate, and I'll probably do it before we end again, but the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, not our fruit. It's not our fruit that is manifested. It's the fruit that we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in our lives as we submit and surrender and walk in accordance to the will of God and what the Word is. So, that should take away that legalistic mindset that, you're trying to accomplish or achieve that that place to where, you have everything in control. Remember that this does involve our discipline. It involves our participation. It involves, amen, us submitting and being obedient. But there's nothing in us that can bring forth any of the fruit of the Spirit. We are sinful by nature. It comes natural to sin. It comes natural to, to be evil. And when I say evil, everybody thinks evil as sinister and, the darkest of dark. But evil is just the opposite of good, And so, it's in our nature. It doesn't take a lot of effort to be a heathen because we're born with that inclination in us. What it takes is the effort to allow, when we're born again and we receive the Spirit of Christ and we become, born again by the blood of Jesus, then we let begin to submit and yield the flesh in our life to allow the Spirit of God to operate in our lives. To do what? To display Christ, okay? All of the fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of God. And I remember last week when we talked about self-control, the very last element in the fruit basket was self-control. The King James calls it temperance. And we talked about when you say temperance, everybody thinks about your temper. Everybody automatically thinks about anger. But anger is only, in your temper, if I can say it like that, is only a small portion of the fruit of self-control. Remember, we talked last week when you get to the root of it and you look at see the meaning and then what it's interpreted to mean, Paul was really emphasizing sexual sin, okay? So that self-control, that temperance is being able to control the sexual urges and the sin and being pure in that area of your life. And so, of course, that involves a lot of other things. So, but of course, self-control does involve our anger and, but it also involves our appetite and also involves, our mindset, our thoughts. There's just a lot of different things. So anyway, we kind of brought back as the last, that was the last that Paul brought in. And remember all of the other eight elements, characteristics, we can go in the scripture and know the characteristics of a characteristic of God because he does not have any sin or anything to be control over, okay? He doesn't have to have that self-control because he's not sinful in nature, okay? But again, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I told you last week that, you know, there's, I want to conclude and bring a conclusion to things. So I didn't want to try to rush and get that in last week. We wouldn't have had time anyway. So I want to be able to do that this week because I want to talk about, go back and look at the original scriptures just a little bit and not talk about the particular elements of the fruit of the Spirit, but talk about a little bit more about our flesh and a little bit about how making it work together and just kind of bringing a conclusion to everything. So that's what we're doing tonight, is kind of bringing a conclusion. And so how many knows that we need to pray daily for God to ripen the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Okay, we need to pray daily. I told you from the beginning of this study, ask the Holy Spirit to be active in your life. Ask God to ripen that fruit, okay? Remember, that's going to be involved testing. It's going to involve, your participation. It's going to involve discipline. That's what makes a disciple. But we need to pray daily for God to ripen the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We have to cultivate it. We have to do things to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So, be reminded that, you know, it's not just something you can sit down and then the Holy Ghost is just going to come and he's going to just work in your life and you're just going to grow and get all that together. You have got to put forth the effort. It is an intentional thing. Every day that we live for God is intentional. It's an intentional effort. It does not, again, it doesn't come natural. Now, as you grow and you mature in the Spirit, there are the fruit of the Spirit and your behavior and the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit will become more natural because they will become part of who you are. So it becomes more, as you develop those habits and you are aware of that, amen? So, if you submit to the Spirit, here's the thing. I think we work so hard to crucify the flesh, right? We focus so much on how wrong we are. Oftentimes we focus so much on how messed up we are. We focus so much on the negative things about us or the sinful nature or the flesh. When if we would just focus and submit and surrender daily and develop a relationship and a fellowship with God and obedience to the Holy Spirit and focus on allowing the Holy Spirit, though the things of the flesh are going to become subject to the things of the Spirit. So you won't have to focus so much on the works of the flesh. Does that make sense? The enemy gets us to focus on those things when if we would just completely surrender and submit and yield to the Holy Spirit, then those things would begin to fall lower and lower and lower, and the power of the Spirit of Christ would begin to operate in our lives. And pretty soon, the things of the flesh are not going to be your first reaction. Are you with me? Okay, and so usually your reaction brings forth an action, okay? And so if we can begin to yield and surrender and submit more and more to the Spirit and to the Word of God, and our reactions be more Christ-like, then we're going to act more Christ-like. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'm not saying every time you react that you act like a heathen. You know, you react. But again, statistically, usually, if that's the case, that's you know, it's going to bring forth that. So, you know, that spiritual maturity and that Christ-likeness that we are longing for, that we are trying to develop, that we desire to have in our lives. If you don't desire that, you need to pray and ask God to give you that, to convict you in that area, okay? Those two things, spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness, are not only the fruit of the Spirit, but that's also fruit of the Word of God as it takes root in our lives. So, you know, again, like I said, you just can't stand and say, okay, Holy Spirit, have your way, just flood me and just do your thing. You've got to do your part. So as you get a life in the Word of God, that's why it's important to come to the house of God. That's why it's important that whatever you're preaching and teaching you listen to, you know that it's sound doctrine. And you know the fruit of the one that is bringing it forth. Are you with me on that? That's important, okay? So as you get the Word, and as the Word begins to take root, there's going to be fruit that the Word of God is active in your life as well. So, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and the Word, you get those two things working together, then you're going to begin to exemplify discipleship. You're going to be look more like a follower of Christ. So we use the Word. It's the Word that we use to bring rightness to the fruit that God wants to see in us. So, you know, you can't do one without the other. Okay, so let's go back and look at Galatians chapter 5. Let's jump a scripture up. We've been reading 22 and 23, but let's go down and add a little bit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You see that? Okay, when you do it, you got to do it all the way. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, let's go back to verse 23. We talked about this just briefly as we got into the study. But against such there is no law. Okay, we know the fruit of the Spirit, those are character virtues. Okay, those are virtues of a Christian. The fruit of the Spirit are virtues. All of these things are virtues. Okay, patience, meekness, self-control, okay, love, joy, these are all virtues of what? Of a Christian, of someone who is Christ-like, okay? And because these are all virtues, and because these are all character virtues, you cannot legislate to make people act that way. You can't, there is no law that is going to get people to behave like Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. So if you follow the law, then, as we know the Pharisees, and we know, you know, some of the sects of the Jews, and you have the Jews that came in to the church of Galatia that were trying to get the Gentiles that were getting saved and trying to convert them to become Jews. They were trying to get them, you know, you got to follow the law. If you follow the law, that's a sign that you're a Christian. Paul's like, no, it isn't. Not a sign that you're a Christian. It's a sign that you follow the law, but it's not a sign that you are Christ-like. It's not a sign that you are living that, because you cannot legislate to make people behave in these virtuous characteristics, okay? You cannot do that, all right? People do these things because of who they are, not because there's, okay? They still will not, the people still want to act a fool, even though the law's say differently, right? There are people that live to break them. You know, and that's the foolish thing. It's just like a child. You know, and I can, you know, just call it fresh, Mary, love his heart. Man.
Love his heart, I
he is as sweet as can be, but he's full of vinegar, I'll tell you. He is a sweet boy, really, really, truly is in his heart, but man. So, you know, you can't do that. Well, then it's push it, right? That's a kid mentality. Okay, why can't I do it? Let me push it. Let me see how far I can go. And you know, when you become legalistic, that's what happens. Because you're not yielded to the Spirit, you're yielded to the law. And when you're yielded to the law, then you cannot sustain the urges and the works of the flesh. So what you have to do is you have to see how far you can go or how much you can get by with before God's going to get upset. Mm-hmm. That's what folks do. You see a lot of that today. That's why there's so much debate on social media about Christians and drinking and Christians and cussing and Christians and living together. Just all of those different things, right? That's because, you know, it's how far, what can I get away with and still be considered a Christian, right? Okay, so what that is a sign of is that they're not yielded to the Spirit, but they're under the law that says they can or cannot do these things. So they can't keep their fleshly urges under subjection to the Spirit. So they're going to act out, so they're going to see how far they can go or what they can do to get by with it. But the Bible says that sin will last for a bit, and that's going to be shouted from the rooftop. Okay, we're seeing that today in the church culture. We're seeing large ministries, and we're seeing, you know, you may not follow, I don't follow, but there's things that I see and, you know, things that I'm connected with because of the church, and there's exposure coming and happening to a lot of large ministries that have been thriving for years, decades, and sin is coming to the surface. And they're being forced to shut down. They're being forced to walk away from everything that they've worked for. Again, because when you see, you gotta keep your spirit, your flesh under subjection to your spirit. So this Christ-like character that we're talking about, right? That's what this is. It doesn't come from submitting to the law, but it comes from submitting to Christ by faith. And then living your life under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now remember, we're bringing the conclusion, and we're going to be repeating some things. We're kind of just bringing everything, together. So again, it doesn't come. So you can dress a certain way that you think is befitting to the law, but still not be submitted fully to the Spirit of God. Okay? I've seen ladies with hair down near their ankles, you know, long sleeves and not showing their knees, be evil. Have heart cuss. Mm-hmm. Same with the men, you know, that don't show their arms and, you know, all of the things. I'm not criticizing any of that, but my point is that that does not make you justified,
right?
Okay, and so you cannot, this Christ-like characteristics do not come from submitting to the law, but to submitting to Christ again by faith, and then allowing your life to be under the influence and of the Holy Ghost, okay? These kinds of attitudes and behaviors don't come from the rules you keep, but from the person that you are. That's why the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will tell. The mouth will tell what's in the heart, okay? It'll tell what's in the heart. Does it take long for the heart to get exposed, okay? That's why a lot of folks get in relationships, right? How many of you have ever been in relationships? And then, you know, you commit, and all of a sudden you got Jekyll and Hyde. You're like, who's that?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the heart will eventually get exposed. It comes to that thing. So again, these don't come from the rules you keep, but they come from the person you are, or they flow from the person you are becoming as you grow in Christ. Remember, we're not perfect. We're never going to achieve perfection here on this earth. Not going to happen. Ever is not going to happen. And so you're never going to get it right all the time, every day, 24/7. Okay? Sorry, not going to happen. Okay, you're gonna have moments where your reaction is a fleshly action. Okay. Again, the key is knowing, recognizing it, knowing where it belongs, knowing how it's detrimental to your walk, to your witness. Okay, repenting, whatever it is you have to do. You know, it might just be you in the car. So thankfully, only you and God know it. That's usually my issue. In the car, then the Holy Ghost is like, what was that cute? Was that necessary? Well, in the moment it felt necessary, it did, but okay, I'm sorry, God forgive me. you know, and I sincerely mean that when I say it. Sometimes it takes me a little longer than others to get to that place, you know, I gotta get four lights up instead of the first exit, you know. It's like, people, I'm telling you, people on the road, I'm not perfect, I'm not a perfect driver, but golly, like it's like every third one.
I know the feeling.
Grandma was with me Friday morning. I had to take her to drop off her car to get oil changes. We were coming from on the exit, and some lady just did stupid. Like, she just did stupid, like, in front of my car, and I hit my horn. She's like, Jeff! I'm like, what?
That's Derek. No one's talking for that.
She said, you shouldn't have blown your horn. I said, well, too late now. And then she said, trouble with your fruit? I'm shifting from the lady in the car to the lady in my car. I said, I'm tired.
Of your mouth.
Yeah, I was like, But, you know, so I had to, you know, it was really aimed on. But, anyhow, it happens. That's my point. My point is that it's happened. You're not going to be perfect. And so when you understand grace, and we'll talk about grace tonight as we conclude, when you understand the grace and understand all of it together and realize everything, you realize that God doesn't expect you to be perfect. That one of the requirements of being a Christian isn't being perfect, it's striving to be righteous. That's what God requires, is your heart to be in the right place. Your heart to always be after him. Whatever that involves, to stay after him. Whether it would be repentance or, you know, asking forgiveness. Whatever. I'm just, you know, all of those things. So, you know, just keep that in mind, okay? These things flow from what? They flow from the person who dwells inside of you, okay? As the Spirit bears his fruit in your life. Who dwells inside of us? Amen, the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Spirit, who is literally the representation of Christ, of Jesus. So as his fruit begins to bear in our lives, then it begins to flow from us, okay? So again, keeping that in mind, that the character and not the rules is why the fruit is singular, okay? It's not fruits of the Spirit. And a lot of people say that. There's no S in any of the interpretations or translations that you look at, I guess I should say. It's not fruits, but it's fruit, okay? It's fruit of the Spirit. So that's why it is singular, okay? Because it flows from a single person. So there's 9 items clustered together in one fruit. I always just kind of picture that when you have an orange has all of these different segments, but every segment is an orange.
Right.
Okay, so that's how the fruit of the Spirit is. You know, it's all one singular character package. It's a single character package. So that being, you can't have one without the other. Okay, if you're going to embrace that character package and receive that, then you've got to be open to all the elements of that. So, you know, no matter what segment of that orange it is, it's still an orange, right? It's all part of the same fruit. So we can't select a few and then ignore others. It's a single character package, okay? You either get it all or you don't get any, okay? That's how it is. We can't, it's not like the gifts of the Spirit, right? The gifts of the Spirit are distributed. Some to some people, other gifts to other people within the body of Christ. But all of it is within the body of Christ, so, right? That's not how the fruit of the Spirit works. It's not that distributed to some. So, you know, you can have love, joy, peace, and not worry about gentleness and patience and self-control. No. Matter of fact, if you've got love, joy, peace, those things are going to follow. Are you with me? Okay, so you know, just keep those things in mind. The fruit of the Spirit grows altogether within a Christian's life. It grows within a Christian's life with a unity and a balance, right? The Holy Ghost is not this disciplinarian. He's not this, he's not this dictator that is there just to beat it into you, right? To get it there, but there's unity, amen, and there's a character. And so all the pieces of one fruit work together and they strengthen each other. So as you see love and joy and peace, right, and meekness and gentleness, as you see them begin to manifest, one strengthens the other, okay? And so it all works together. There's a balance there, and it's important to understand that. So, there is no law that can get anybody to act like Jesus. That's why Jesus had to come. Because Jesus was the only one who could fulfill all that the law requires. So with your faith in him, right? So then verse 24, let's go back to verse 24 in there. And it says that we have crucified the flesh. In other words, we say no to the flesh. Just say no. Remember that campaign? Yeah. Just say no to drugs, right? Just say no. How many wishes you would have said no? You that struggled with that, right? Yeah. Anything that was struggled with addiction. I shared last week, my struggle with certain types of food. Just say no. It's easy to say, you know what I'm saying? He said, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. They that are Christ. How many would say tonight that you belong to Jesus? That you are Christ, right? That's who we are. That's what makes us a Christian being Christ-like. Have crucified is past tense. Okay? Whether you like it or not, that's what you signed up for when you gave your life to Jesus. You died. At the moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you died, or you crucified the sinful nature, or simply the flesh, okay? The moment you said yes to Jesus and received that gift of salvation, you died, okay? You crucified. It doesn't mean that you no longer have sinful desires or ever actually sin. I used to think that way. That's kind of how my upbringing was, and in my Pentecostal upbringing, it was the notion that I got from the preaching from the pulpit and things was that once you're saved, and especially when you get sanctified and you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, once you do that, you're good to go. So you should. And you should be perfect, and you should never want to sin. And if you want to sin, then you're not really saved. And so when I gave, when that was hard for me to say yes to Jesus at 15, because I was like, I can't do that. But when I couldn't do it any longer, and my knuckles were white that second weekend in that service, and holding on to the back of the pew, and they were giving the invitation, and I was like, I'm just going to go or die. Like I gave in, and I get saved, but I still struggled with sin. Mm-hmm. And I found myself wanting to, so I was confused.
Yeah.
I was messed up. So then the problem was me, right?
Yeah.
I never blamed God or the Word or the Holy Ghost. The problem was me. I was the mistake. I was the one that just couldn't do it. All these other people that I saw every week get up and, raise their hands and, they could do it, but I couldn't. And so then the problem became with me, which gave me a 15-year pursuit of getting deliverance, right, and trying to get that freedom. So, you will, as if you do not stay consecrated and keep your relationship with God in tune and in touch and alive and daily consecration, you are going to fall back into your old fleshly ways. It'll happen, okay? So it doesn't mean that we're not going to have those desires. We still live in this world, right? We're surrounded every day by temptation. Sometimes failing, sometimes falling. but were steadily learning and growing.
Right.
And God knew that. That's why Jesus had to go, so the Holy Ghost could come to empower us and enable us to do this, to walk this out. Do you understand that without the power of the Holy Spirit, we couldn't do this?
Right.
We just could not do this, okay? God's great gift that seals us, right, until the day of redemption. That's why we look forward to the final redemption and that freedom from sin and temptation when we live with Christ in that new creation. One of these days, this is all going to pass away. This is all going to be restored, right? Okay, we're gonna take off this mortality. We're going to put on immortality. And we're going to live with him. We're going to be a new creation. Everything that we're working for down here, everything that we're doing here is going to pay off in the end.
Amen.
Because the end reward is redemption. Final redemption. We're temporarily redeemed right now. And the Holy Ghost has us sealed until that final redemption comes. Okay, that's why we can get excited about the coming of the Lord. That's why when we look around this world and think, oh my gosh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Lord Jesus, this place is a mess. Okay? And it's getting worse. Worse as we go on, it's getting worse. Okay? So, we look forward to that. But again, nevertheless, there is an act of will and choice that we are called to exercise day by day. When you get up tomorrow, mercy is new. Okay? All the mercy that you needed and used today, done, gone. When you get up tomorrow, there's a new mercy. Okay? New mercy. Take advantage of that mercy. Okay? Pursue. Righteousness, holiness, everything that we do should be in pursuit of the righteousness of God, okay? Should be in pursuit of a relationship with God, okay? So, it takes your will. So, again, and that's why your folks with strong will, man, use that against the devil. Use that in your walk with Christ, okay? And so, that whole decisive fact that you have crucified the flesh has to be translated into a daily present intention. Okay? When I gave my life to Jesus, that means I have crucified the flesh, but I have to daily put myself in that place, intentionally allow my flesh to remain there in that place in order for me to stay in Christ and in the Spirit. So that, we also need to add to, though, that it's a matter of grace and it's a matter of attitude. Okay, those things involve. So it's not just will and choice, but it's a matter of grace and it's a matter of attitude. It has nothing to do with legalism or earning God's favor by our good behavior. You don't get good points for acting right.
Right.
Okay? You favor is upon each and every one of us who are born again. We all get the same covenant favor. We all get a double portion as if we were God's firstborn.
Right.
That's how he treats us, as if we were all the firstborn. So we get the inheritance. We are joint heirs. Who was his first and only son? Jesus. That's why the Bible says we are joint heirs with him. We get the same treatment. Are you with me? In the covenant. Okay, so it's not a matter of you're blessed more than I'm blessed, or you've got more favor than I've got. We've all had access to the same amount of favor in the covenant of God. What makes the difference, what changes it, is how we yield our lives to the Word and the Spirit that causes that favor to be released in our lives, okay? Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Okay? I got to dwell in the household of God. I got to stay in his family, okay? It's got to be a daily intention. It's not about legalism. It's not about earning God's favor by our good behavior. That kind of thinking is contradictory to what Paul is teaching. And I'll tell you, I've said this probably every week, but there are people that sit in service after service who have that mindset. Mm-hmm. And it needs broken off of their lives. For some, it's a deeper spiritual issue. For others, it's just a matter of understanding and realizing the love of God, to where you don't have to, you cannot earn that. That's completely contradictory to what Paul is teaching. It is all a matter of grace. Say all.
All
of it. All of it. All that God gives is a matter of grace. But as Paul points out in another place in Scripture, that grace that saves us is also the grace that teaches us. See, I don't think we realize that grace doesn't just save us, but it also teaches us. God, give me grace. Teach me. Help me, okay? And Paul tells us that. We having been saved by grace, we are to live by grace, okay, in ways that exclude certain kinds of behavior, period. We're to live by grace, okay? Having been saved by grace, we're now to live by grace in ways that do away with certain kinds of behavior, okay?
Right.
Instead of trying to figure out what we can what we can do. And here's how Paul makes the double point. Let's look at the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Look how Paul makes this double point here about that. You have that?
I don't have that one.
Can you get it? All right. Somebody give me it. Somebody find it. Give me a Bible.
Titus
2, chapter 2. You got it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Did you catch that? Okay? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us, teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Okay? Good parents and teachers know that they have to teach kids to be able to say no to certain things that are bad for them.
Right?
Right? You teach them that you say no to some harmful and dangerous things. You know, you say no to that, right? We know that. That's what the loving grace of God does. Okay? It teaches us to say no to certain things.
Right.
Okay? It teaches us to live self-controlled. Okay, what's it say? Training us to renounce, do away with ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Okay? Where we're waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, that's what God's grace does. It teaches us to say no to things that are harmful, okay? Once God has saved us by grace, God teaches us by grace, okay? So, when you're taught something, you learn it, right? And nothing can make you do it, but once you learn
it,
and the consequences of not following through with it, what's going to happen, then you are the one that makes that choice, right? Your parent and your teacher can't be there to say, no, no, no. No, you can't do that, right? It comes that point to where we got to. And how many knows that the Holy Ghost is not going to make you, not going to make you do anything, okay? But the grace of God can teach you, you know what? And so that means you might fail. You might give into it. Paul said, I've learned. Paul said, when I should do right, I don't.
Yeah, buddy.
So that tells us Paul had the knowledge, but he didn't always let grace teach him, but he learned, okay? So understand, there's a grace period, right? We know what a grace period is, right? It gives you a lenience. It allows you to have second chances, okay? We have a grace period. Okay, grace is there for us, all right? So, to make it personal, for me, as a man in Christ, I'm saved by grace and I'm taught by grace, then I have to work out what it means to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. I got to work out in my life what's going to separate me from the goodness of God.
Right.
Work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord, okay? I have to work that out, okay? Grace will teach me. And what's grace is a good teacher, because if I say yes when I should have said no, grace isn't there to throw me away, to make me feel like a heel, but grace is there to say, come on.
Get up again.
Get up.
Yeah.
Right.
Get up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Acknowledge you were an idiot. You acted like a fool. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have went there. You shouldn't have even been there. I told you not to go there.
Right.
But you had to win.
Right.
Right? How many's ever been there?
Yeah.
Gosh, you knew I should have went.
Yeah.
And you go and bam. And then you want to blame it on someone else. And the bottom line is, I shouldn't have went. I shouldn't have went. That's why the footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes God's going to tell you, you know what? Don't go to the store right now. There's something not good there. I mean, you know, something that simple. But you know, again, we have to work out what it means to say no. So I have to make it clear to myself that, and I listed some things. Okay, there are some places that I should not go. Okay, talking about me, there are things that I should not look at. There are relationships that I just should not play with. There are words I should not allow to pass my lips.
That's true.
There are conversations that I should not join or pass them on.
That's true.
Okay? Are you with me? There are feelings I ought to rebuke and suppress.
Yep.
Okay? There are desires that I should not give in to.
Absolutely.
There are attitudes toward others that I should not hold.
Absolutely.
You get the picture.
Yep.
So on and so forth. Are you with me? You made it personal for me. However, but again, and that's why, because of a person's past in their life, there might be some places or some things. Now, there are some things that should be, you know, automatic. But some things that some people can have in their life that maybe you can't, because it takes you to a place. You see what I'm saying? So that's why we have to be careful in not passing judgment. And for some people, they're just not at the place of grace that you are. So give them grace. Give the grace that God gives you. I got a sign on the wall. God, help me to give the grace to others that you've given to me.
Yeah.
It's a big piece of paper written right in front of my face every day I sit at my desk. Help me to have the grace for others that you have for me. Okay? That all goes back to the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that, right? And a lot of fruit of the Spirit. So it doesn't mean that, you know, we withdraw from the world to the strict hermit kind of life, right? It's not like that you just have to seclude yourself, because that's not the will of God. How are you going to win the world if you hide from it? We're in it, not of it. So we've been put in it. We can't partake in it. So if we're in it, we've got what's our purpose? to be like Jesus, to be salt and light, right? Shake and shine. That's what God has asked us to do, okay? So, it doesn't mean that. It also doesn't mean that you sink into this negative, legalistic kind of life, which everything is narrow and restricted by rules. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Until you get to that place, oh gosh, I'm doing this. I wonder if God's going to be mad at me if I do that. Oh gosh, I hope this is not wrong. Until you get to the point to where when you do spiritual things, it's never enough. You can pray for an hour and a half until you spit cotton balls. You literally have, you know, no saliva left in your mouth. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's not enough. Because it's not about quantity, God. It's about quality. Okay? You could fast 21 days, all right? And then, oh, I should have fasted 40. Seriously. And that sounds funny, but a lot of people struggle with that. That's a real battle for people. That's why you got to understand that grace, okay? It simply means that we recognize that Christ calls us to a joyful and liberating exercise of self-discipline. It's freedom to be able to have that discipline in your life. That's a freedom to be able to have the power of the Holy Spirit to equip you and to enable you and empower you to live like Jesus. That's freedom. Bondage is when you can't get away from it. Okay? So it's not restriction. That's why God wants us to enjoy life. It took me a lot of years to figure that out. That I'm allowed to enjoy this life. I'm allowed to take pleasure in things as long as what I do brings honor to God.
Yeah.
That's holy. Laughing?
Uh-huh.
What? Seriously?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, don't make me laugh. You'll cause me to sin. When the Bible says God laughs.
Right.
And a merry heart does good like a medicine. Take a pill. Come on. Get some joy. There's no joy in serving the Lord like that. You know that, and I don't mean to get off of that, but that's, you know, again, understand those things. We're in a spiritual battle. Bottom line, we're in a spiritual battle. And when our sinful nature, our sinful human nature slips up, it sits up and says, all right, give me the wheel now.
I'm a Jesus. Take the wheel.
I'm going to be. Jesus took the wheel. Flesh is going, I'm right for that, see. Put it in the car. That makes sense to me. So that's why we're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And so when that sinful nature sits up and wants to take the wheel, we got to knock it down pretty strong. Okay? We got to crucify it. We got to say, you're dead.
Yep.
You don't live here anymore. Okay? Just because, listen, when you crucify it, doesn't mean it goes away. You got to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. I crucify it daily. I have to every day. Right? You got to keep it there. So, you know, that's somebody said the death of the flesh is the life of the spirit. So when the flesh dies, it feeds the spirit, right? There used to be a Chef Boyardee ravioli commercial, feed the need. Feed the need. Everybody needed that. Yeah, you got to feed the need. What you feed is what's going to flourish. Okay, so you feed the spirit, it's going to flourish. You feed the flesh, it's going to. Now, let's go back to Galatians 5, look at verse 25. I'm going to bring all this together. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we're supposed to say no to the flesh, then we need to say yes to the Spirit. Right?
Yes.
We need to become. So one of the interpretations, translations of this scripture is that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So if you're going to live in the Spirit, why not let the Spirit lead? Why not stay in step with the Spirit? If that only makes sense, right? Because it's through the Spirit that we have life. Okay? And it's real typical. It's real typical of Paul's writing. He oftentimes Paul's reminds a statement and then a command. He's good for that. So the statement, well, if we're going to live by the Spirit, then you should stay in step with the Spirit. Like Paul was good for that. Just kind of putting that double thing there, a statement and then a command. So he tells us the truth about ourselves. Okay? He didn't say if you don't do it, you're going to hell. But if you read between the lines and all the other things, you'll find out what not doing it will. Okay? You see that? That's that. So, residence in our lives through the presence of His Spirit, which is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We already said that, right? So, His Spirit is the presence, the Spirit of Christ, His presence. So, when we say yes, we, at the moment that God begins to take residence in our lives to get saved, then we begin to see and live through the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the same as Christ Himself. In Galatians 2:20, Paul has already emphasized this whole dimension here that we're speaking about of our Christian experience. You had that in Galatians 2:20? No, but she's not in here again. I know I wrote them down. They may not. Sometimes it doesn't sync.
Oh, there it is.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? Paul has emphasized this dimension. Okay? He already reminded them. So he goes on, if you read in Galatians chapter 3, Paul goes on to remind them that it was by the Spirit that they had been given new life, so they couldn't reach the goal under their own power. They were struggling with that. They were struggling with trying to get this to this place, to achieve this under their own power. Paul was saying, you've been given new life in Christ, so you cannot get it by your own means, by your own ability. So if the Spirit is the source of life, let the Spirit direct our course. If the Spirit is the source of it, then how about letting the Spirit say, go this way? Okay? How about it? That's what Paul's trying to say. Okay? Can we go back to Galatians 5:25 again? So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That word walk is the Greek word sokeo. So Paul said if we're going to live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. But again, one translation it's translated that let us stay in step with the Spirit. That word in the Greek, sokeo, means to march in military rank, to keep step, as marching into battle. This is why he said, if we live in the Spirit, if the Spirit is what has given us life, then let us stay in step with the Spirit. Okay? This is a military term. Okay, this is what Paul is referring to here. You know, soldiers are trained to do what? Keep in step with each other. Left, right, left, right, left, right, right? Shoulder to shoulder. You know, you don't get out of line. That's something that you work with. Stay in line. Why do they do this? In order to face the enemy with a united strength. It keeps them in the same mindset. They're united, not one. You with me? So Paul is saying that if we're going to live, if it's the Spirit that gives us life, then let us stay in step, or let us march into our battle face the enemy with united strength. If God be for me, who can be against me? It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? Says Adonai. It's by my spirit. It's not by the might. It's not by the strength. It's not by anything, but by my spirit. So if the spirit says, get orders in about turn, don't go marching straight on. If the spirit says, turn to the right, don't be going to the left.
Right.
It's that simple. Stay in step with the spirit. Okay? If the spirit says no, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there. Don't even get connected with that person. Don't. Then stay in step. Because the minute that you go against what the spirit has said, you are now disconnecting. Because the spirit's still over here now. Now you're over here. Spirit said go right. So the spirit's over here. You're over here. Guess what? You're on your own. You're doing this thing in the flesh now. Okay? Paul's saying, it's that simple, right? It's simple yet complicated. But when you understand it, okay, and you walk in that, if the Spirit has indeed given you new life, then you should stay in step with Him, okay? Don't go right. Listen to the Spirit, okay? But also listen to the Word. Keep in step. That's why let's go back again. We talked about the Word. The Word is just as vital, taking root and producing fruit. There ought to be fruit from the Word in your life as well as fruit from the Spirit. And the Bible says the two of them what?
Agree.
They walk in unity. So the Word's never going to give you any kind of advice that the Spirit's not going to back it up. And if you do what the Word says, the Spirit's going to be there every time to support you, strengthen you, give you the power to follow through with what the Word says. If the Spirit is telling you to do something, then the Word is going to be there as a foundation to support you. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you better know the fruit of those that labor among you. Don't be taking every word and every feel good, everything that people are handing out left and right on social media and, all these prophetic words and unctions. Be careful. Because you don't know the fruit. Three instances right now of what I talked about earlier, and I'm not going to say names because that's not what the pulpit's for, but you can look up and see. But three of those things that God is exposing in these major ministries, probably more than likely, the majority of you would recognize at least two of the three names. Okay, and I'm probably some have their books in your library. They've written books, and not that what they said is wrong, but their fruit was different. And now God's like, you know what? It's enough. Mm-hmm. It's enough. And so be careful, okay? Know those that labor among you. That's why you can't know someone's fruit by worshiping with them online.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Got to be in play. You got to be in person. Only way to see the flesh is be in the flesh, right? To be there in person, okay? What you see is what you get, right? Okay, so again, there's, and now, and then on the other hand, though, we gotta remember those different ideas in the church on what being spirit-led means, or even how they view the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, there's a lot of different ways. So again, what do we talk about? Unity and balance. You gotta keep things in balance, okay? But I think we need to emphasize more of the way that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and character being the kind of people who bear the fruit of the Spirit. We put so much emphasis on the gifts and on that manifestation, and we haven't put enough emphasis, in my opinion, enough emphasis on the way that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and our character, that being the kind of people who are supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Okay? Isn't it ironic and also tragic that those who speak the most loudly about the gifts of the Spirit are using themselves failing to show much of the fruit of the Spirit? Some of you may not have been around enough to know, but trust me, a lot of them that speak the loudest about it's all about the gifts, and it's all about the, you know, the emotion and the manifestation and you know, prophecy and all of this. That's a sign that, you know, that don't mean anything.
Right.
It has value, but it doesn't. It's not the standard. Okay, and so a lot of those, you know, don't have the fruit of the Spirit. So the opposite danger, though, of that now is that we become so afraid of the problems that can be caused by talking about the Spirit, teaching about the Spirit, that we neglect Him altogether. So again, you can go all of those other ways. I know pastors that say, you know what, we don't even give room for that in our church because it just causes too much problems. Mm-hmm. But that's not God's will.
Right.
Right? So there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. But at the end of the day, you will know them by what?
Your fruit.
Fruit and nothing else. That's how you will know that they are my disciples, okay? The followers, because of the fruit. Some want to emphasize the word rather than the Spirit. That would not be faithful to Paul's teaching. Paul didn't teach us to just emphasize and focus on the word and leave out the Spirit. So our character, our behavior are shown in what? In how we live and serve God by what? By the work of both the Spirit and the Word in our lives. It's the Spirit and the Word. Okay? They've got to be both. So our character, our behavior are going to be demonstrated. It's going to show how we live and serve God by the work of the Spirit and the Word in our lives. Without the witness of the Spirit, our witness is worthless.
Amen.
Or fruitless. Okay? Without the witness of the Spirit, our witness is worthless. Without the convicting work of the Spirit, our preaching is in vain. What good is preaching if there's no conviction?
Right?
Right? It's the word that changes us. Without the gifts, without the guidance and the power of the Spirit, our mission is nothing but pure human effort. Period. Without that, it's just our effort. Without the fruit of the Spirit, our ugly lives cannot reflect the beauty of the gospel. Without the fruit of the Spirit, we're unattractive. Ain't nobody want any of that. Right? We ought to be attracting people to our lives. The word is our authority on which the Holy Ghost can operate. That's the authority. The word is our authority. It shows us the quality of life that should be indicative of a believer. The word tells us, it gives us enough, plenty of examples of what a believer's life looks like. Amen? We got lots of examples in there of what walking by faith is. So, we see, right, in the word, I'm kind of bringing things to an end, that the biblical lifestyle, the lifestyle of a Christian, of a believer, includes compassion, justice, humility, integrity, truthfulness, sexual purity, generosity, hospitality, kindness, self-denial, peacemaking, non-retaliation, doing good, having joy, forgiveness, contentment, and love, all of that combined in lives of worship, praise, and faithfulness to God. Okay? That's what the biblical lifestyle includes. We can't claim to love the Bible without loving the life it teaches us to live. We can't claim to love the Word without loving the life that it teaches. A life that involves a costly but yet practical obedience to God through Jesus Christ. He never once said that it would be easy. He never once said that it would be painless. He never once said that we wouldn't feel it, right? He never once said that through all of it, he would be faithful, all right? What commends the gospel more passionately than a transformed life?
Amen.
Think about it. What commends the gospel with more passion than a life that's transformed? What else? Nothing. Nothing brings it more dishonor so much as personal inconsistency. So when we claim and we declare, and then we are consistently inconsistent, okay, then we're bringing dishonor to that word. And so that's why he gives us the Spirit. We need the Spirit to guide and to transform us to behave in a way that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit. We have to look like the Christ that we proclaim. At the end of the day, we have to look like the Christ that we proclaim. God gave us the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill this purpose. It doesn't come natural, and we have to grow it progressively. Okay? It's a progression. It is a faith to faith, strength to strength. Okay? Grace to grace, moment to moment, day by day. Okay? We ought to, we can only live one day at a time, but we ought to plan our future days based on the truth that we're going to live them for the Lord. Does that make sense? So, you know, that's why we don't. It's because we know he's coming. We don't just sit down and not work. Okay? So we have to plan our lives. So my tomorrow involves me living sold out purposely for the cause of Christ. Okay? So today I might have missed that. But my tomorrow, that's my plan. And then the next day, that's so you plan your life. That's why when God is first, everything you do and everything that you plan pivots off of that. Okay? And so at the end of the day, we say no to the flesh, and we say yes to the Spirit. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And for me, that warfare is tougher now than it's ever been in all the years that I've been serving the Lord. Okay? In all the years, it was 44 years for me in March that I've been serving the Lord. 44 years. So my 44 years since I first said yes to the Lord. And I told you I got saved 75 times before I got free. You know, so I got saved when I was 15, but I don't know how many times I got saved before I got free, because I felt like all I did was wrong. You know what I mean? Because repenting to me was getting saved all over. Anyway, so it's tougher now. It's more intense than it's ever been. The struggle to just hang with it, right? I'm not talking about giving up on the Lord, but I'm talking about just hanging with your purpose and you know,
walking in
spirit.
You staying in step with the spirit. And I look back and see how many times I got out of step. And the Holy Spirit's going, turn right. I'm thinking about it. Turn right. I'm thinking about it. I start to not go this. Turn right. And then I go, finally I'm like, you know what? I go left. And I leave the favor. Okay? Doesn't do away with grace. But the favor over your life, that's what grace is. Grace, okay, is that favor. So it's not hard, but it's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's possible, but the enemy wants to make it more complicated. That's why you got to understand some of these thoughts, some of these things and these strongholds, these silly thoughts, I call them, thoughts that are not detrimental to your eternity. You know, thoughts about what others are thinking and thoughts about what others are doing and all those are not, at the end of the day, those are not detrimental to your eternity. Okay, you got to choose to not let those things be warfare. Okay, and we all fight that kind of stuff, right? We all fight thoughts and we all fight things. We all have our places. Okay, but we got to stay in step with the Spirit. This is war. And we're going to win. If you stay in step with the Spirit, you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed victory. Okay, God's faithful. So I appreciate you. Thank you for your attention, for everything that, your participation. Several of you have had questions, and, you know, I'm thankful. And I just trust that you've got something of value that you can take and use and apply to your life to make you a better witness for the Lord, because that's our desire, right? Is to be like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Will you do that? Amen. He's very good. He's good. And the flesh is always willing, okay? Always willing to act. To let you be sinful, but we've got to let the Holy Spirit. So don't forget, Sunday we'll be back here ready to worship the Lord. Let me remind you, next Sunday morning, we're going to have some guests here. We'll probably take about 10 minutes or so, and we are partnering with LifeWise Academy, which is bringing the gospel to Parsons Elementary. So we're doing that to bring Jesus to the kids there. So they're going to be here kind of explaining what you can do to get involved in that and to be part of that and be connected. So that'll be on the 30th. So don't forget, if you signed up for VBS donations and you haven't brought those in, they need to be here by Sunday. Amen. Pray for, again, let's remember the Katrina Reese and her family, the whole family. Also remember Sister Carrie. She had her surgery today, and I talked to her before service, and she's in an extreme amount of pain, a lot of pain. So let's just remember her in prayer that God would give her supernatural rest, amen, and freedom from that pain. Praise God. Stand with me. Amen. I appreciate you. Thank you again for your attention. Again, be careful. According to the report, tomorrow and Saturday are supposed to be the hottest days of this week. So it's been hot this week. It's been hot. It's been extremely hot. And according to them, according to the people that are supposed to know, the weather people, that heat dome that was over Florida is supposed to be over the Midwest here. And July is not going to be any cooler. So, charge your air conditioners and don't invite me to a picnic. Because I probably won't come.
Or a hike.
Unless I can sit in your house.
Or a hike.
I ain't kidding. But anyway, let's just be careful. It's not, you know, that can be dangerous for a lot of folks. And pray for those that that have to work outside and those kind of things. So we're going to blast this show forward. I want you to lift your hands, give the Lord honor, and give the God a shout of praise for all of you tonight. God bless you. We appreciate you. Amen.